Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, the Thursday night edition of the Chase Thomas podcast rolls on, where I'm now joined by Fightful's own Fightful superstar, the distraction superstar, the number one on that very podcast, YouTube show, whatever you want to call it, with Jeremy Lambert and Joe Holbert. So go check that out, folks, if you have not already. But it's Robert O'Neill. Robert, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. How are you? It's been a minute.
We made it work. You're a busy guy. Like, you've blown up into a pro wrestling superstar, fan superstar. Like, everyone's checking out your tweets, checking out your appearances with Jeremy and Joe, Friends of the Pod. You're a hard man to book these days.
Yeah, no, I'm glad we made it work, though. You know, I always like coming on here and talking to you, man.
Do you think you're getting more booking requests than Austin Aries this week?
Yes, almost
certainly. That's a bummer. Like, he was like one of my favorite wrestlers to watch for a really long time. I was arguing with people, like, I have a very strong TJP take. Robert, I don't know if we've talked about this in the podcast before, have we?
I think we have. I think you said that TJP is like one of your favorite wrestlers, if not your favorite.
Yeah, TJP is I will still go to bat as the best in-ring performer in professional wrestling today. I don't think anyone has as good of a pro wrestling mind as TJP. I really don't. Any TJP match I will watch from start to finish. He's so good in-ring. But that's just the kind of style that I enjoy. But Aries was kind of like that 10 years ago now, and I don't know, it's just that stuff, it's just kind of a bummer because it ended and it fell very, very quickly, and still just he was a really great worker when he was doing all that. But anyway, I'm rambling. Robert O'Neill, did you know that Tommy N / Malakai Black debuted on AEW Dynamite or Road Rager, whichever you want to call it, last night?
I did. That was exciting. You know, I was watching it. I started watching again. I couldn't get into the Friday night shows because, you know, I watched SmackDown, yeah. And then it's just like I'm ready to just be done with wrestling for the week. But yeah, that Saturday night show got me back last week. And then the past two Wednesday night shows have been very good. So I'm glad I tuned in last night. It's good stuff. You know, I don't love the name Malakai Black, but it's a wrestling name. Be used to it in 2 weeks and it'll be fine. Training for him to come in and work Cody, but I think it's going to be good. It's a fresh start for him, and I'm looking forward to it.
I like that it went with Cody because I wrote about this at sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com, so go check that out if you've not already, about last night's show. But I was amazed at how bad the opener was and like how bad of a look it was. Like, this is what you brought. Like, QT Marshall was just in too big of a spot. Would you agree?
Yeah, that feud, man, they went so long with it, and it's like, you know, good for QT Marshall, he's a good trainer, you know, he's doing good stuff with the Nightmare Factory,
yeah,
but he doesn't need to be having, you know, 10 or 15 minute matches on a near weekly basis.
he doesn't need to be on TV, like, on these shows and big spots anyway. Like, it's just, he was over, like, he was in a spot that he couldn't win, and, like, going from a go-go to QT was also just not the best look. This feud lost its juice a while ago. And also, just, like, that match, man, that's a really tough match to sell to fans, and I think to do that as the first thing back on the road was just, it was certainly a choice, as I wrote, because it was just that, like, I don't think fans knew the rules. Like, it was dead. Like, there were October episodes at Daily's Place that were louder and more involved than that match for the most part. It took Cody just, like, asking QT to hit him with the strap to, like, get them off their hands a little bit, but, like, no one was into that. And that was something I immediately jotted down. I was like, there's no way people are going to buy into this. Why would you start with this? Why would you do this? And I don't know. It seemed like it was dead on arrival. And I don't think if you polled the majority of fans in attendance, they had any idea how the rules worked or why this was happening.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I think they could have just started with, Andrade and Matt Sydal. That would have got people going just as fine. And,
that match was also a stinker. I don't know if that would have been great either.
That's fair. I don't know. You know, Dynamite, it feels like not a ton of people liked the show overall last night. But I mean, I enjoyed it. You know, I was entertained for 2 hours. It's about all you can ask for. But yeah, man, I don't know. Like, Cody being the first guy out on the return to the road, like, was super predictable too, just because of how they've done things forever. So I don't know, you know,
and I don't want to make it seem like I'm shitting on last night's show, because I thought it was a good show by and large. There were some hits and misses, but like, that was just something that they stood out. You forgot all about it because guess who came out? Tommy End debuts Malakai Black, whatever you want to call him, with Cody. So you forget that Cody's night was QT Marshall, and like, it's good that they were able to cleanse that, because the show by and large I thought was really good. And that, this is something else I wanted to pick your brain on, Robert, was that, like, it's kind of amazing, and this just sucks for just pro wrestling fans in general, and I promise this is a positive. I know it sounds like I'm going to say something negative, but this is a positive in that Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley are two of the best talents in the world in their primes, and they've been healthy, they've been able to both be on top, they've had these great feuds, they've had these great matches, but we've missed out on both of their world title runs in the hottest promotion in the country as fans. And like, with Hangman being over and the We Want Hangman chants, and it seems like that's where the wind's blowing, is that Hangman is going to eventually be AEW world champion. Like, Omega not having fans for 200 plus days for his reign, I don't even know what the number was for Moxley not having fans, and just to move on, because AEW is so full of people. Like, they're so stacked with talent. They've signed too many people, and this is something that I'm going to monitor in the next couple of years, just that, like, there's just not enough spots. Like, there, people are going to get frustrated because there's just no room to move up. But you have Orange Cassidy, you have Ray Phoenix, you have Pac, you have Andrade, you have Christian Cage, you have Miro, you have MJF, you have Tommy End, you have Jungle Boy, you have Darby Allin, you have all these guys who are just sitting there who are next in line. And AEW is really good about not putting the title back and forth. And, like, once it moved on, like, Moxley moved to the tag team division after he failed. And then you look at Jericho. He hasn't sniffed the title since moving on from the belt. Like, he's on, and he'll probably never be the world champion again. It's just hard to see a scenario where they're back on top and in front of fans for that long ever again in this company, because it's just not how they operate, and there's just too many other mouths to feed. That, like, I just was thinking about that, of like, man, Omega's reign might end before we even really got to experience, like, what it would have been like with Callis and everything else during the last few months. And just Moxley too, of just not seeing the product of fans losing their minds or fans booing them out of the building. Like, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I mean, I think a question I have for you based off that, like, do you think solution is maybe they have some shorter title reigns, you know, now the fans are back, just to kind of get more people the title, or just kind of stay the course with what they're doing and, you know, move to Hangman, who I assume is up next, and then, you know, maybe don't continually do the 6 to 8 month title reigns, but you can have one closer to like 3 months or, you know, there's no easy solution, because, you know, I think people by and large, you know, like Kenny Omega, they like Moxley with the title, you know, so it's not really a problem. I just think, you know, there are a lot of guys that you'd be like, oh, it'd be cool if that guy was champion someday.
Yeah, but, like, they're in their prime, and some of these guys are sneaky older than you would think, but they're going, their contracts will be up in the next couple years, and they'll be like, hey, I've been here for a while and haven't gotten a world title run. Like, I haven't been able, like, that's going to happen. Like, that's just the nature of the beast. And that is something I'm just so fascinated to see how this works, because when you expand like this and you have so many different people, especially young, talented people, you've got to throw them some bones. And I don't know if there's enough opportunity across the board for that. It's why I was surprised that Ethan Page chose AEW over NXT, because NXT is just right for the taking for the top spot. Like, they are so stale at the top of that main event scene. And you plug him in, he's so talented. He's immediately the top guy. Like, top interesting main event guy. Like, you saw what happened with Karrion Kross there. Like, he's going to get pulled for SmackDown and Raw any week now. And you do that. Like, I don't know why you went to this area where it's like he's already been lost in the shuffle. Miro got lost in the shuffle a little bit, but that was also because he was released, not because he didn't want it to move on from Raw or whatever it was. But, like, I wonder about stuff like that, and I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I think Ethan Page is a guy who could be, you know, TNT champion in the next few months. You know, he's done a lot. It's weird that, you know, he came in and was pretty much like, it's always tough when you come in as a surprise, especially at AEW, because the expectations, I think, are so high. And yeah, I don't know, man, like, maybe going to NXT would have been better for him, especially because, like you said, they do have kind of a gap at the top now where Kross is leaving, and it looks like, you know, Johnny Gargano is going to get another little run with the title, I would imagine. But at the same time, you know, NXT is pretty crowded too, if you count everyone in the Performance Center that will, you know, someday make it to NXT.
Yeah. I don't know. I am excited to see what happens here, because there's still a lot of people out there, and I don't know. I'll see what happens with Malakai Black, but there is not a lot of room. This is a talented group, and it's only going to get more talented. When you see the names cross, like, on Elevation, and you got Rampage coming up, I don't know. I just think it's going to be interesting to see how they manage all these different personalities and all of that. But I do think these companies have to look at it. And do you think about this when you're watching these shows each week, that Lashley, Omega, Kross, and Roman Reigns are all dominant heel champions across all four shows, and that these, like, this, that there's not much, that they're just doing this because there have been no fans, so they don't have to worry about reactions and babyface pops, and people are already struggling to keep up at home anyway, and that they're going to put more babyfaces over with fans back in attendance, or what do you think? Because I just wonder, like, how that hurts ratings, and how much that hurts just fan interaction of just being like, man, every show is just about the dominant heel champion, and they're just everywhere. It's all week. It's overwhelming for me as a viewer and someone who writes about this stuff and podcasts about this stuff, that, like, my notes just like, man, there are not a lot of baby faces that fans can latch onto right now.
No, and I think you're right. You know, it has been a byproduct of not having fans. You know, I think we are close to Hangman winning. I think I wouldn't be surprised personally, you know, if they can't work out something with Brock Lesnar to do Brock and Lashley at SummerSlam, that, you know, you just pull the trigger and give Kofi the title.
I'm pushing for Kofi to get the title. I like, he's been so good, and he is so much fun. And just give him the title. Make Raw fun. Like, let Kofi be great on Raw. Why not? He's 39.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're going to have fans back. Money in the Bank is really the first show. They have SmackDown and then Money in the Bank with fans. But, you know, Money in the Bank's first show where you can really do something big and impactful like that that'll pop the crowd. And, I mean, you're not going to have Roman lose to Edge, I don't think. So why not just give Kofi the title there?
That's what I would do. I would just give it to Kofi. Also, I saw somebody post about, like, Big E being the next WWE champion, I guess, because he's going to move, and I don't think Roman Reigns is getting pinned, or, like, unless it's Cena and The Rock, and they throw it to The Rock. And I wrote about that earlier this week about the Reigns, Cena, Rock stuff, but I don't know. I don't think Reigns is getting pinned anytime soon. But I am curious from your perspective. Who do you think, as of right now, is the better all-around talent, Kofi or Biggie?
Oh, man, that's tough because, I mean, you know, Biggie is very good, but he does have, you know, a couple of those big man limitations in the ring, where Kofi, you know, doesn't really have the limitations in the ring. And his past couple of weeks promo, excellent too, like stuff we haven't really ever seen from him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'd go with Kofi right now.
We're on the same page. I don't think that's the general pro wrestling fan sentiment. I think if you sent that, like, if you put a poll out on your Twitter feed, Robert, I would guess the majority of people would say Big E, would be my guess. And I just, I don't know what Kofi doesn't do better than Big E.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, and I think they are very close. Like, they're both obviously.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to see what happens there. Did you have any other major takeaways from last night's episode of Dynamite?
Not really. You know, it's nice. I'm really excited for WWE to get fans back. It's going to be good stuff, man. I think, you know, there's a kind of a sense of optimism around wrestling right now. I think, like, they are going to hopefully do cool stuff when fans are back. You know, Tony Khan says they have a lot of surprises. WWE seems to have a lot of surprises coming with, you know, John Cena and, you know, a draft coming up. And maybe I'm just being reeled into being optimistic after the last, you know, 16 months were, by and large, not that good. But I'm looking forward to the next couple months. I'm going to SummerSlam. I'm going to Full Gear in November. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to Vegas. I'm excited for that.
Are you bringing the cowboy going hat?
To, you know, probably not, just because it's going to be 120 degrees. be way too warm. But, you know, Full Gear is in St. Louis, where I live, so I could have the hat there, perhaps. You know, stay tuned in November.
There you go.
But, yeah.
In terms of Bayley and Edge, I wanted to ask you about this too with Money in the Bank. Who do you think, now that we have Bayley in the Last Man Standing match against Bianca, and then you have Edge ruining Roman Reigns' family, going after everybody, going full Frankie Kazarian on the Tribal Chiefs family, who do you think would be better option to go over at Money in the Bank?
Oh, man. I don't really see, like, either of them, really. Like, I guess Bayley could. And, like, if you wanted to do Bianca against Bayley against Sasha at SummerSlam, that'd be a fun match. But I don't see, you know, because it feels like, you know, they're heading towards Edge against Seth Rollins for SummerSlam, which will be good. You know, I'm looking forward to that. So I guess by that logic, probably Bayley, but I probably wouldn't take the title off Bianca right now.
I would put Bayley over. That promo last week was really good. I thought Bayley came off better than Bianca, but I think the idea that, like, Bianca walked her, like, did the babyface thing of just being like, oh, I'm done with you, by giving you another match, but it's going to be a last woman standing match where it's going to embarrass you and blah, blah, blah. But, like, Bayley was like, well, I've been a champion for 300 plus days. I've done it. Like, you haven't done it yet. And I'm just going to keep coming and keep coming and keep coming. And then this is like Bianca, like, oh, no, you're not, because I'm going to do this. I think that would be a more compelling story for me, is Bayley actually upsetting Bianca, who put this match out there because she was the baby face who would defend her title at all odds and stack the odds and give Bayley this opening. I would, That is what I would do. I would flip it and then have Bianca chase Bayley in front of fans. I think Bianca chasing the title has been more interesting than Bianca with the title.
It's funny because it feels like that's kind of always how it goes for a babyface, right?
I think it just depends on the character. I think, like, the road to, like, Kofi could have been a lot better. Like, I think Daniel Bryan with the title is always, I think it's just been fun. I don't think it's as fun as the rise of Daniel Bryan, but I don't miss those feelings of just being like, oh my God, what are they doing here? I like Roman Reigns with the title a lot more than him chasing it, where they were trying to posit that he was not the guy. Remember, the authority was not a pro Roman Reigns authority figures. They weren't in on him. Like, that stuff was horrible. So I think it just depends. I think by and large you're correct that, like, the chase is more interesting, but if you're not invested in the person chasing the title, then it's usually not. But there are some people that I think are better suited to just carry it. I think Bayley is actually the best suited to hold that belt and to elevate other people around her. But I also just think it would be hilarious with fans, and just of like her actually pulling something out, like doing some schmazzy finish and letting her go, like keeping Bianca strong, but still giving Bayley the title back to like show her like, hey, see, I told you I'm a veteran. This is why I was champion forever. And you did not. Like, I think that's a more compelling story in Bianca losing her mind after Bayley upsetting her. I think that would be great.
Yeah. No, you don't want to do that way. I'm sold, man.
See, there you go. Hire me, WWE. Actually, don't. I don't have any interest in writing these shows. I don't have any interest. If you were given an opportunity to write for like Raw or SmackDown, would you take it, Robert?
I don't know, man. Because you know what? It sounds like it would be like, you know, my job right now. I just no. Like I work from home right now. I have a set, you know, 9 to 5 every day, Monday to Friday, and it feels like working for WWE, you're putting in like 100 hours a week and having meetings at like 3 a.m. and then turning around and going back in at like 8 a.m. And no, that's not for me.
Yeah.
It could be a fun experience, I think, for a couple weeks, but it would get to you.
I think so. It's not really. Like, I would do it if I got full control. Like the Paul Heyman, Eric Bischoff situation, I would do it if I was given full control. Or like, that's the only way I would do it. It's like, not in the room. Maybe that says a lot more about my personality. Than anything, just being like, no, I'll just do it myself. If you just give me like, let me do it, then yeah. But the back and forth and hearing someone else be like, are we sure we shouldn't push gender to the moon? Are we sure? Like, I don't know if I can handle it in the writer's room of just them or them just being like, actually, Drew McIntyre, pretty good. And I'm like, all right, this is not the place for me. I've done my time. I can't do this. I don't know if you knew this or not, but he's doing a bit on Raw each week, Robert, where he's giving history lessons. He's upset about former 3MB members running away with his sword. He's also got a very cool guy logo, Scottish Warrior, on his leather jacket. Drew McIntyre, just the ultimate babyface. I don't know how anyone couldn't be all in on this character and him as the top guy on Raw. I don't know how people could not see that.
Yeah, man, you know, that draft is going to really do wonders for them, I think. And I think we say that every year there's a draft, but they really need to shake things up a little bit, get some new people on the Raw, because it's a struggle.
I mean, Keith Lee just needs to come back. Like, that'd be nice. Like, the hole that Keith Lee departing left on the main event scene on Raw can't be understated. I think that's been one of the bigger problems. But also, they're getting better. I think... There's all kinds of complications with the Riddle stuff, but I think he's going to be super, super over with crowds back, and I would not be surprised if he's elevated to top babyface guy status on that show when fans are back. But last thing, and we'll go, Robert, your Money in the Bank predictions, because we will not talk before Money in the Bank. Do you see any titles changing hands? What do you think? What do you think happens?
Yeah, Kofi win the title. You know, that's kind of my bold prediction here.
Wait, say that again? You broke up a little bit.
Kofi beating Lashley.
Okay. And then where do they go after that? Who's the SummerSlam challenger for Kofi?
You know, that's really interesting part. I don't know if you do a rematch with Kofi Lashley at SummerSlam, or, you know, if Lashley is able to get that match with Brock, then you do that, and maybe...
What if you bring back Brock and you do a whole angle on how Brock beat Kofi in 5 seconds?
See, that'd be cool too. I'd be perfectly fine with that.
That would be awesome. That would be fun. Yeah. I would love that.
That would be a lot of fun. So yeah, I'd be interested in that. As far as who's winning the briefcase, I think I would go probably with Big E or Kevin Owens right now.
Mm.
Just because they kind of feel like the two guys who can really do the most with it and kind of drag it out for an extended period of time, which they, you know, like to do, like to just have one person have the briefcase for a while. And especially Owens, I think it could really unlock a new level with them.
Yeah, Owens, I'm trying to think like who else I would have put AJ in and just given it to AJ. AJ is just a heel with the Money in the Bank briefcase. It's just top notch work. And
yeah.
I think that'd be great, and just have him holding that over everybody else. But who else is in it right now? I'm blanking. Who else is actually confirmed? It's Big E, him, Morrison, Riddle,
McIntyre, Ricochet.
Okay.
And then two of Cesaro, Rollins, Nakamura, or Corbin.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I could see Riddle. I could see them just giving it to Riddle.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Riddle is a guy that they have kind of been the past, you know, few months, and I do think he's going to be over with the fans, which is the whole thing to get into another day.
Yeah.
I think if someone from Raw is going to win it, it's going to be him. I don't think it's going to be Drew. I think they want you to think it's going to be Drew, but I don't see them doing that.
No, I hope not for my personal mental health. Like, I hope not.
Yeah. He needs some time away from the title.
I might put the belt on Charlotte Flair over Rhea Ripley.
See, the intro to that is, if they do that, I think you can be on the lookout, perhaps, for, like, a Charlotte Flair-Becky Lynch match at SummerSlam. Because, I mean, Becky's clearly coming back, and everyone thinks she's going to SmackDown. It seems like SmackDown's match for SummerSlam is going to be, you know, two of Bianca and Bayley and Sasha.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's no spot for her there, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Charlotte and Becky, it's a match we've seen a bunch of times, but it's good every time. So, you know, if they want to just have Becky come in and work that, you know, I think people would be cool with it, and it would give Raw a boost as well, so.
And also, this Rare character is just awful. Like, what they're doing with Rhea Ripley is just so bad.
They don't know what they're doing with her, and that's not ideal.
No. The good thing about her, though, is she's 24. Like, they haven't figured it out now. It's bad right now, but that doesn't mean it's going to be bad forever. They could figure it out later on. We saw this with Becky Lynch. Like, it's just going to take some time, and hopefully they figure it out before too long, and they just lose her because they don't know how to use her. All right, Robert. Well, what can we check out from you across Twitter? How do we follow you? How do we keep up with your work? What would you like to plug as we wrap up here on this Thursday afternoon?
Yeah, just follow me on Twitter at RobertO'Neill31, and you can just kind of find everything I do there. So we'll just go from there.
All right. Robert O'Neill, always a pleasure talking pro wrestling with you, my man. You have yourself a good rest of your night and a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, man.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.